You dog. I noticed something different. You dog.
What'd you notice?
You used the first time using the community kit logo intro. People that are watching.
Community kit logo graphics. Intro.
Yeah.
Let's go. Man, before we get started today, I want to ask you about two things in your in your newfound independence out there. Number one, I know you sent a tweet earlier today. You know, you are a social media presence. Tell us about your mustache.
It is interesting. So I did this right before we had left.
Yeah.
Or right before I had left for San Diego. I did it a week before, and I sort of just shaved off the sides, and we had a mustache. Yeah. I didn't really like it because I thought, you know, I took a lot after dad like this, you know. But I've came around, I did it this time, and feel like I'm stepping into my mustache. So
I like it. I feel like I don't even know what you look like before, you know?
Yeah.
So that's a good thing. You got a good Tom Selleck going on. Google Tom Selleck if you don't know. I'll find a photo here soon. Mm-hmm. And number two, tell me about whether or not you get made fun of for your love of acai bowls.
Oh, dude.
I know some of the boys at home.
I hear it all the time, dude. if they're listening, Darius is the number one hater for acai bowls. He doesn't hate, but he does acknowledge that they are slightly overrated. But as an acai connoisseur, like, it's cheap, it's healthier than stuff you could get.
Okay.
And now we're just sort of taking it in. It is my go-to every day.
It's your go-to every day. Man, we hear some tunes in the background. What's going on?
Yeah, I don't know who's... All right, let's go.
You're going to have to mute there.
Yeah.
While you're not speaking, Mikey, but that's all good. For those who don't know, this is Tom Selleck here. Mike, what's your reaction to...
This is the guy from Blue Bloods.
Yeah, Tom Selleck.
Oh, yeah, dude, it works.
And, you know, Miami Vice back in the day, if you didn't know that. But there you go. That's Mikey and the mustache. And you're acai bowl. Dude, live your best life.
That's what I'm saying, dude. Acai bowls every morning. I get to see awesome people every day. And I get to, like, go to the gym and shit, and I get to, you know, sort of see what my life is going to be like post-college. So yeah, I feel like this is an interesting experience.
My man living his college life. Let's get into some G's, man.
Do it.
It's been a minute. Careful with that. It, like, booms really loud. Oh, my God. I totally forgot what to say. Okay. Colorado. We have Colorado coming up on Saturday. The boys have not played a game since the LAFC game. We rehashed that a while ago. You know, some people have been really happy about it. Other people have been not so happy about that draw. I mean, I think anytime you leave points from the bank or take points from the bank, that's probably a good thing. But we have a little bit more of a difficult prospect this week, man. We face Colorado, and lately Colorado has been one of the teams that has our number. You want to weigh in on that? Because I know you've talked a little bit about this phenomenon with the Galaxy and playing down to teams. Your thoughts about going up to Denver?
I mean, we're going to be at a higher elevation, and these things happen. You're coming off an international break. You have guys that are tired, and you guys that have been playing and traveling. I mean, I expect a draw from this game. I don't see us going into this game getting 3 points realistically. It would be nice, but we do have this challenge of just playing down to teams that want to be Robin Hood and take points from us. I feel like everyone in the league right now wants to take points from the Galaxy.
They want it so bad, man. I think you're spot on with that. And let's add to the complication of this game is you're facing Robin Fraser, who is one of Greg Vanney's like boys, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to want to outdo one another. And I think that hopefully Greg took something away from that last loss against Colorado at home. That one was a really hard one to swallow. Mm-hmm. You think Greg overcomes?
I mean, I feel like Greg does it. I feel like there's only so much he can do on his end. But, I mean, like you just mentioned, they're boys. They both know each other's philosophy. I feel like they understand each other quite well. So it's going to be who employs the better tactics and whose team is charged up and ready to go. And in this situation, I think it's Colorado has the upper hand in this matchup.
Unfortunately, it is Colorado because Sebastian's been gone. Jonah's been gone, but he's you know, hurt or on the bench or whatever. We're facing problems with that again. And there's this question about Jonah we'll come around to. But Colorado, Why is it that we can't beat this team full of bang average MLS guys, man? I mean, to their credit, they do have a playmaker. I forget his name, but they also have the likes of Kellen Acosta, who is a U.S. mainstay and a talent in the league. And we just can't get it done. So you think we're not going to get it done. What do you think we have to do to get it done if we are going to do it at all? What do you think about that?
I feel like we're going to need to play with the ball instead of playing without it. Like, I feel like there's been a bunch of situations and instances this season alone where we've been comfortable with not having the ball. I feel like we need to go to Colorado and have our presence known on the ball.
Finish your thought.
Yeah, rather that be going forward or making back passes, just keeping the ball away from them will result in a win or draw from us. I mean, we can't slip up.
We can't make the mistake. So that's what I was going to say. I'm of a different opinion. I think we try to play with the ball, but our blocks like aren't connected for whatever reason. The midfield's not that connective tissue that it needs to be. And like we're trying to play possession and then we give up the ball in the middle of the field and people don't make their passes and like people like Cabral don't step to the ball and like, you know, and yeah. Then we turn over and we get countered. And then we try to play counter and then it becomes a shootout. And I think that's why we've kind of had a bad run of form. I hesitate to call it a bad run of form, but a bad run of form nonetheless in the last couple of games. Like we're having to score multiple goals a game to put away a game again. And I think that's really hard when you're playing on this team of like, you're playing against a team of like mainstays, right?
Yeah.
It's hard.
I mean, it's always difficult against Colorado, no matter what team or no matter who they play, and especially at home. We took the loss to them at our home, and there's the no elevation excuse because you're here. But, we can't afford to slip up, and we need to make more of our offensive moments. And I agree with you. I don't like seeing that we're winning shootouts because it's very reminiscent of GBS.
Yeah,
and it was just sort of like, let's see how many goals we can bang in. And, you know, we are sort of reverting back to our glass cannon sort of style of play. And I don't know what to make of that. I would imagine, like you had mentioned, the midfield being an issue, our forwards not receiving the ball as effectively as they should. But we'll see.
There has been a grand controversy about Jonah Dos Santos, and he's kind of come out and said, like, you know, it's my last year. He's gone from it's my last year, I'm going to fuck shit up, to it's my last year, I know I haven't played as well as I can, to making Club America jokes. And I think he was joking with Ochoa, right? I don't think he was. I don't think he's saying, like, bring me to Club America or whatever. But the fact of the matter is I think that he doesn't quite fit. And I was listening to the last LA is Our House episode. Shout out to those boys. They were talking about how Jonah just doesn't fit the system anymore. And I don't know if I agree with that. I think my man just can't get on the field and stay on the field. And I think his body is going, which is unfortunate.
Well, I think that constitutes not fitting the system.
You can't play.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with those boys over there wholeheartedly.
And if you can't play, you can't be a DP.
You know, and we are asking ourselves these questions.
We don't know Dos Santos is to be TAM players either. So I think we're starting to see the end of Jonah Dos Santos here. Let me ask you a question, though. Ryan Revellison, he's an investment. He is a project. He seems to be fitting in really well. You know, he does his shit. He messes up or whatever, but he's also banged in some goals. So who do you pair with him? Who on the team would you currently pair with him? Or if you're going to go out and get a midfielder, let's say you have a DP spot. You're going to go out and get a central midfielder. Assuming Revellison is the DM, right? Who do you get as a box-to-box to complement him? Or maybe it's a playmaker issue. Who do you go get? Who can you go get right now?
I mean, that's the thing. There's not too many people that you could go out and get. And I mean, I feel like this is fitting for the episode. I feel like a dream DM to have in the middle would be Keelan Acosta. I think he's great. That would never happen.
Oh, like the Colorado player.
Yeah.
Keelan Acosta. Oh, you're talking Inley. Ooh, that is so rare.
That is so rare.
And actually, that's funny because FC Dallas – their academy is amazing. They developed Kellen Acosta, and he was part of a blockbuster trade to Colorado, the same way Mark Anthony Kay was a blockbuster trade to Colorado. So he's been on the end of that already.
Yeah. So
I don't know.
I think that would be great.
What's your dream CM then? If you're going to go abroad and like within reason, right?
I mean, it'd have to be someone who's on the twilight of their career or approaching the twilight of their career, but not too many names jump out. I mean, if Modric is doing Modric things in Madrid, if Tony Cruz is doing Tony Cruz things in Madrid, like there's so many different people that I could.
Lucas 36. Luka Modric is 86. Or I'm sorry, not 86, 36.
It's FIFA rating.
FIFA rating. Cruz is 31. I think Cruz is a good shout.
I like Cruz. I mean, he offers very much the same of what Gerard did in his prime, where he was not too lethal in the final third, but he could find his way into creative spaces and he can put the ball on a platter. I mean,
listen, if Chicago can get Schweinsteiger for a couple of years, I think we could probably go out and get Cruz.
Do you have anyone in mind?
I don't know, dude. I'm racking my brain. I don't. I think Muller. Like all of the midfielders in Europe now are too old or really young. That like middle age kind of thing. That's not a thing right now. Mm-hmm. Okay, let me ask you this: if we're gonna go out and get a playmaker, we still don't have a number 10 on this team, literally or figuratively. We don't have a playmaker, and we don't have a physical number 10 jersey on the field. Who do you go get? They're gonna use the DP spot on the number 10 too.
No, 100%. Timmy, if Timmy is watching or if Timmy's here, Timmy, from what I understand, he's still hot on Giovinco.
Oh,
I think he's a little old now, a little bit past his prime.
Yeah, if he was gonna come, he needed to come now.
Yeah, now or the year prior, but I mean, like I feel like any midfielder. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. A number 10 would be it is crucial, and we're going to need it. I don't know if it's going to be one of Greg's like scouting finds, and he finds a kid, finds a Frenchie, and brings him, and we just have a French trifecta. But I don't know, man. There's a whole bunch of question marks that I feel like we just haven't found answers to, and I don't know if we're going to be finding answers to them soon because Jonah is gone.
I mean, you could. It's not going to happen. How old is De Bruyne? That's not going to happen.
He is the best playmaking midfielder in the whole world.
I know.
And I'm a Chelsea fan admitting that.
He's getting up there. He's getting up there, though.
An
Ozil? That's what I was going to say. I don't know. Maybe we'll see. This is not a playmaker, but maybe you push, if we keep Sebastian, you push Sebastian in and bring a winger and give it to old Eden, your boy Eden Hazard.
Tough bit. He's definitely seen better days. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. We're getting into Europe now too much. But Galaxy. Let's head back to the Galaxy. So what about Chicharito? It appears to be that he is training at Elevation. You think it's all show? You think he wants to show up in Denver and like give him the cheat show on the way back? What do you think about this?
I don't know. I mean, like, I'd be very excited to see Cheech play. I mean, I feel like everyone is excited to see
him. He's going
to
play.
I think he'll come on.
Yeah.
I think Dejan will start, and then we'll see a good 15 minutes from Cheech or 15 or 25 minutes. But I think everyone's excited to see him play. I mean, I wasn't too hot on him when he made his move, but now that we've seen him sort of break that ceiling and sort of open the floodgates, like
what's crazy is he's still in the golden boot conversation.
Yeah.
Despite not having played like 12 or 13 games. So let's talk about that. Maybe a more realistic question, Mike, is do you think he has the capacity to regain that form? What a heavy episode. It's like, I don't know. We have more questions than answers.
I think it is possible, but I think that stint we saw of him we'll look back on that and that'll be like, oh, vintage Cheech at the Galaxy was those few first 5 weeks and that was that. But I would love to see him recapitulate that energy. It was fantastic, but the likelihood of that happening, I feel like everyone is on a different page, and he's going to need to catch up to speed. And unfortunately, his legs don't help.
His legs aren't helping. His calf is going to be an issue. Maybe we have a situation where we have two DP spots, and that would be fucking crazy. Because I think okay. So let's go back to Greg's thing about fixing the defense, then, and then we'll kind of
work our way.
So I think if Cheech moves on and Jonah moves on, I think you get a DP midfielder, and I hate it. And listen, 5 years ago, I would have gotten ripped for saying this. You buy a DP center back, because how else is Greg going to fix that back there? You know what I mean? He's saying, like, we got to fix it. I heard a great point. People are attacking Koulibaly because he loses the shape, you know? Like, I don't know if he's it right now. Williams seems to be shook, right, since his suspension. Mm-hmm. So let's go through it a piece at a time then. Bond or Klinsmann?
Bond.
Let's start at the back. Bond, obviously. What grade do you give Bond on the season right now?
A very modest and objective B plus.
A B plus. Okay. Mm-hmm. I would agree with you. Bond B plus. Now, left back, Viafania or Hamalainen? And I know that's hard because we haven't seen a lot of Nico, but what would you rather do there?
I would do Nico.
Okay. Why? What's the knock on Jorge then?
He's old. But he's not going to be face of the galaxy in a year or two. I mean, we have to incorporate these guys now if we want to see the payoff, have it come a year or two. So I'd go Nico just for the sheer game time that he needs to see.
Okay, and maybe Viafania kind of does the Sasha Kalestin role for
him. Yeah, like help him, or you know, help the guys learn from you, because you are a premier MLS defender.
Yeah.
I think MLS defender, and I think of Jorge Viafania as one of the first people.
Yeah, he's like been around. Okay, I'm going back to the lineups real quick. Okay, let's go Williams then. We have the center back fucking roulette. I think it's going to be Williams. I think it's just Williams. Williams is the first one. Mm-hmm. What grade do you give Williams?
C plus.
Why?
The suspension. Suspension alone.
Okay. The suspension alone?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So do you think then he can – do you think he keeps his starting spot? Do you think that's going to be him?
It's not going to be Depew because I fucking hate him. I don't know why. I don't know what the crusade is against Depew. I think he's great. I think he's just as good as any other person you can stick back there. But, you know, it's just me.
Okay. Moving on, Koulibaly. Okay, let me ask you a question. So Depew's out then. Koulibaly or Steris?
I'm going to have to say Sega just because we haven't seen this guy. Like, I feel like we all make very harsh judgments right off the bat, but it's like in the grand scheme of things, we've barely seen these guys play.
Okay.
Barely.
That's fair. And then, so Araujo, what grade are you going to give Araujo? This is going to be
complicated. A-plus. A-plus.
A-plus.
A-plus.
He's done what he needs to do.
Mm-hmm. And some.
Careful with that popping, bud. The mic, my stuff over here is going crazy. Let's see. Okay, so let's go Revelison then.
B plus as well. He's surpassed everyone's expectations and has proved to be one of our biggest goal threats.
Yeah, which is crazy. On the set piece and from play, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, wait, what grade did you give him?
B plus.
B plus. Okay, what grade do you give Jonah Dos Santos? He's a starter.
He's failing.
He's failing. Just straight F.
Not straight F, but a D plus. Like, he's at a 69. Ooh. Like, he's on the cusp of a 70. But
he can save it and go off into the sunset?
Yeah, it's the same story. For people that have listened to the podcast and have listened to me speak my bullshit that I do on JDS, it's the same story. I don't know how much time we're going to give this guy. Like, he's just not a competent player. Not to discount his time and discount the stuff that he's given for the city, but he's no longer it.
We're talking right now, right? He's no longer it.
No longer it, yes. Okay. But his time of no longer being it is almost equal or at the equivalent of his time when he was it.
Fair. Fair, fair, fair. Okay, so let's do the other midfielders then really quickly.
Let's do it.
What do you give Kalestin?
B minus.
Okay.
C plus, B minus. I mean, when he's called upon, he does what he needs to do. gets in and gets out. He's a real professional.
Real professional. I mm-hmm. like it. Okay, what do you give Efra Alvarez then? Ooh, he's won some people over.
Yeah, I would say earlier on in the season, maybe not as good as a grade that I'm going to give him now. I'm going to give him a C plus.
I'll give him a B.
B C plus for sure. Yeah.
I'll give him a B.
If comes up in crunch time.
Yeah, if we keep him, I think he's Mr. LA Galaxy, maybe, having been in the academy. We'll see.
Maybe.
Okay, so I like this. Ooh, this is fun. What do you give your boy Saldana? We haven't seen him a lot lately. That matters.
I feel like I can't grade him. I love him. I feel like right now I can't give him a grade that's reflective. Okay. If I had to give him one, I'd give him a C+ or a C just off the fact that, you know, when he has played, it's...
Okay, so... What do you give Victor Vasquez? Because I'm saving the best for last. What do you give Victor Vasquez?
I'll give him a B-.
Why?
He's 36.
Something like that.
He's 36. He's up there. He's seen a lot. He's played a lot, and he's had some great moments. I mean, he knows how to facilitate, and I feel like he's one of the very few creative players we do have on this team. And that says something when you're 36 or on the tail or on the wrong end of 30,
yeah,
still balling and still showing up these kids who still don't have that vision yet. So I think there's a lot to learn and take away from Victor Vasquez and what Vanny did with that signing. So
okay, B range for him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right, Sebastian Legette.
Dog, it was my boom player this year.
And I know.
We haven't seen a lot of boom out of Sebastian, and he's dealt recently with a lot of external factors that, you know, doesn't really help to anyone's form. But I'd give Sebastian a C or a C-. And it feels like when we play him, he disappears a lot. And it sort of feels very pedestrian when he plays. So
My man just doesn't have a position, dude.
What would you give him?
Seb?
Mm-hmm.
As much as it kills me, like probably...
Because you're the teacher here.
Probably a C+.
Mm.
Probably a C+.
For sure.
It kills me.
Because but it's the truth. Heart.
It's he the does. Truth. All right. What do you give our boy Sammy Grants here?
As of recently, he's doing a lot better. But he had a very slow start. I'm going to have to give him a C as well, a C or a C-.
Man, you're hard. Really? He works his – he's like heir to Alessandrini already. I'd give him a B. That's why we're doing this.
Why would you give him a B?
I would give him a B because sometimes it appears – okay, a B-.
Okay.
A B-. Because – he had a slow start. Very. I was scared for a minute that he like didn't really care. Mm-hmm. And something has happened now where he has saved himself. And he's like, I'm Alessandrini. Mm-hmm. I have the spirit of Alessandrini. And he is sometimes the only one who gives a fuck out there. I feel like late in games or in the middle of games. And I don't know. I like him. I think he's good. I think it's interesting that he's coming off the bench. And I'm looking at the lineup from LAFC, Vasquez started in the hole and Sebastian mm-hmm. started on the wing. And I'm not sure that that's correct.
Yeah, no, I'd agree.
Okay, so let's go to the other side then.
I know.
What about your boy Kevin over here? His brother Remy scoring mm-hmm. bangers and fucking at G2. So
yeah, while we're getting our backs blown out to San Diego 5-2.
Yeah, that's true.
I was gonna call him Remy, but no, that's not Remy. It's Kevin. Kevin, one of my favorite players to watch on the team, makes me upset more than he makes me happy. Mm-hmm. But I love watching him. I feel like it's a treat getting to watch him play. We see his bright spots, very few and far in between. But when we do, it's always that extra little bit of reassurance. Like, hey, maybe this kid has it. Maybe this kid can develop into something special. But it's been very underwhelming, and it's been very difficult to watch at times during the season, and I feel like everyone, and if not most people, can agree and attest to that. But I would have to give Kevin my favorite player on the team at this moment of just the same grade as his compatriot on the team, the C minus.
Okay. Yeah. The sitter cert, man. The sitter cert. But that's one of those, like, the teacher, you give him a C, and it's like, I'm sad. The comment is, I'm sorry I had to give you a C. You can do so much better.
You can do so much better. Exactly. Yeah. How many of those have you had to write? Jesus.
Enough. Enough. Okay. I don't think it's fair to grade either Cheech or Dayan right now because it's just sample size. So let's do this. What grade do you think Dan will go out with at this rate?
I would say a B plus or a B.
I agree. I think he does enough to kind of cement himself.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be the starter one day, so I hope so. Okay, and then what grade do you think Chicha is going to end up with? He was my boom player, and he was. I was right for a minute.
Yeah.
We'll see if that continues.
I feel like that's difficult. I feel like he had such an electric start, and now that time has passed, and the Cheech train has slowly started to come to a halt. I feel like we can maybe project Cheech to be somewhere in the B minus or high C plus range. It's such a question mark that, you know, it's either he's going to touch down and he's going to know and pick up on everything he missed out on, or we'll see him struggle like he did in years past. So it's a weird time for Cheech.
Okay. What about the most important one, your boy Zubac? Do better, dog.
He gets a not applicable. He gets an NA, and the comment on his canvas is going to be, "You got to do better, dog."
Yeah, I like it. Okay, let's switch over then to we're running out of time. We're at time already. Okay, really quickly, let me ask you two things.
Yes.
White corner, we're going to broaden up. There hasn't been a lot of soccer news, so we're going to just bust it open a little bit.
Okay.
So Landon Donovan has said in the last day what Weston McKennie did is irreparable and harmful for the team. U.S. men's national team player Weston McKennie, probably the leader in the locker room, if you look at the backroom stuff, sent home for breaking COVID protocol. All of the MS talking heads, Bobby Warshaw, Stu Holden, Taylor, all these guys, they're like messing with us, but like it seems to be that the story is that he invited some late night entertainment into his room, breaking COVID protocol. And this is not one, but two times now. And Greg has dismissed him from the team during World Cup qualifying. What do you think? Too much time with CR7?
I think it's shame. It's not shameful. It's disappointing to see that he goes out and he breaks these rules, but it's not expected, but I'm not surprised. He's younger and you have all these guys sort of stepping into their own, playing in these big nations, playing in these big top European leagues. You know, it's bound to get to you and you're bound to have an ego and do dumb shit. It happens. As a 20-year-old, I can attest to that. I've done dumb shit and I will continue to do dumb shit and learn. But on the end of the pundit's end, I'd be fucking embarrassed if I was Landon Donovan or Stu Holden.
Yeah,
I'd be fucking embarrassed.
I mean, having not qualified for the World Cup last time, he could have gotten the whole team quarantined.
I'm not saying I'm embarrassed for Weston. I'm embarrassed for Landon and Stu. You two are some grown-ass men, and these kids have already achieved more than they have in their respective career. I'm not upset at Weston. If he wants to fuck around, he wants to invite late-night entertainment over to the team hotel, suffer the repercussions, that's it.
Even if it means – and I'm just asking the question. Even if it means that you potentially disqualify your team from the World Cup again because a bunch of people got sick?
I mean, that is the bigger risk, and we are looking at this under a bigger magnifying glass. It is a World Cup qualifier, and I feel like it's damning. It sucks. It's like, all right, well, you know, it shows how juvenile these guys still are and how they still have a lot to learn. I mean, I don't think there would have been any situation in where the whole team would have had to have been quarantined. and this is going to someone who's attending classes in person now and seeing how things are being treated. Like, someone gets COVID, it's like, all right, bro, you're on your own. You quarantine and you figure it out.
And I believe they all have to be vaccinated and shit too.
They all have to be vaccinated. Yeah. So, I don't blame him. I mean, shit happens. Like, you slip up and these things are bound to happen. Not like players make their mistakes, like fucking Foden and Greenwood not too long ago during the Euros. No, during the Nations League.
Yeah.
And they got caught up for the same shit. Like, these guys are young and
look what happened to them.
Phil Foden's fucking great. I love Phil.
No, but they lost.
Yeah.
Oh no, we're talking about Euro. Sorry.
No, we're talking about the Nations League.
Yeah, my bad. But I was thinking of Euro. Okay, so that segues into my second question.
Mm-hmm.
Chelsea fan extraordinaire. I am of the opinion. Okay, so I think that they gave Jorginho the UEFA Player of the Year because he won the most shit in like COVID.
Yeah.
And like, fine, right? You win the Euro, you win the Champions League. I think that's great. I think that says more about the teams he's on than it says about Jorginho. And I started thinking this because of the missed penalty and like the half-assed play he played the other day. Mm-hmm. And like, he seems to be super sloppy since they've said that. I want your take on that.
J5 or J8, if you will, for international. I feel that he is well-deserving of every award that comes his way because you look at him in these games where he's called upon to be a big-game player, and you see him sort of step into his own. Granted, everyone's prone to mistakes. It happens. You play for 90 minutes, you're going to fuck up. No one has a perfect game. But I feel like I do agree with you in the sense where the praise for Jorginho, like, oh, give Jorginho the Ballon d'Or praise. Like, I feel like that, you know, that can affect your ego and that can affect the way you approach the game. I feel like he's been nothing but a world beater since this past year.
Sure.
He's proven to us that he is hard to replace. He's hard to replace on any of the teams he's on.
I think so, too. I don't think he's not great. I just feel like they were like, who are we going to give the UEFA Player of the Year to? Who won?
Could you name another player that achieved more?
No.
Outside of Messi?
No, but – and I'm not taking it away from him. I'm just saying, like, no one else won – and maybe to your point, no one else won both Champions League and the Euro. But I don't see that as like, oh, he's the standout. I think it's just like, let's give it to Jorginho.
It was either going to be Jorginho or Conte.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. And actually, Jorginho has played better than Conte lately.
So,
which is fucking crazy.
Exactly. So once again, where does this lead us?
All right.
Oh, it's almost like he starred and played phenomenal in every single big game that he's been asked to. He played in the Champions League. He fucking won the Champions League. He played in the Euros. He missed a penalty in the semifinals.
He did.
But he still won. He still walked away. And you look at those teams and you soon, like, or you're quick to realize and come privy to how crucial he is as a number six or as a number eight. He's creative. When he first came here to Chelsea, he struggled a little bit. He was being bantered on Twitter for being a side pass merchant. I think he still has some of that in his game today, but he's been able to separate himself from that and truly show us who he is as a player. And it's someone who's creative and can do a lot of work on the ball and compensate for that off-ball work on the ball. And I love him. I love J5. I love Chelsea, if you guys can tell.
I needed to put a change my mind here, like on the square, like, because I think you did change my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate you. All right, man. Any last thoughts? What do you think is going to happen in Colorado? Score prediction.
I'm going to stick to my prediction that I made right at the beginning of the episode. I think we're going to play out a 1-1 draw. Maybe Dejan or maybe Cheech. Or if we see Cheech, I'm going to say Cheech scores. So, 1-1.
I'm going to go crazy. My stomach feels very sick about what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it. I'm going to stick to my guns. I'm going to will it into existence. We're going to blow them out.
Ooh.
We're going to blow them out.
No shot. Score prediction.
Score prediction, 3-0.
We'll a goal see. For each point we'll get after the match, so hopefully.
Let's go. And I'll take shots for all three that don't happen.
There we go. And then you'll go on Twitter Live.
All right, man. Yeah, we should check in on Twitter Live after that. Maybe keep an eye out. It's been quiet around here. It sucks that we haven't had much like MLS action to talk about. But here we are. All right, Mike, hit him with the socials.
Yeah, if you guys have listened this far into the podcast, you can come check us out on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, anywhere you can find us at the G30 Podcast. It is the G30 Podcast. And if you want to come check me out on my socials, you can follow me on Twitter right here in the bottom left corner at CFC Michael. And that'll be it today for me, guys.
And I am CountChalk786 on everything. So, awesome. All right, we'll catch you next time. Peace.
Let's get out of here.